course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just, you know, enjoying the holiday season. It's Spooktober, and I'm really excited to talk about the movie we watched this week.
That's right. We're into October, so we're knee-deep in the fun stuff that we celebrate all year round, but now the whole world's catching up, so it's kind of cool. I just cracked open a Samuel Adams Oktoberfest beer. Do love my fall flavored beers. So it is good. It is a good time of the year. And I always love this time because everybody else appreciates the movies and the things that we appreciate all the time. And it's kind of fun to see the love for everything.
Yes, it is.
All right. And like you said, today we are reviewing VHS Halloween. We have obviously expressed our love of the VHS franchise, so here in a little bit, you'll hear what we think of VHS Halloween. But we have a whole lot to talk about before we get there. And let's begin with Ike. Did you watch anything else this week?
Well, nothing horror-related. I've been on, like, a DC kick lately, so I've, like, went through and watched, like, Creature Commandos, Peacemaker. I watched the Penguin series, so like I just went on a DC kick, so nothing horror related.
The Penguin series is so good.
It is really good. It was excellent.
It is incredible. Let's see, what did I watch? I watched Witchborn, which was pretty good. I enjoyed that. And I've been going through my watch. I finished my Friday the 13th watch through, have started a Halloween watch through. I've not gotten through the first movie all the way yet, so I've just started that. And I think that's it. As far as what I watched. So, all right then, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have plenty of news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so starting us off here, Patrick Bryce has said that he and Mark Duplass will eventually make a third Creep movie, and they want it to be sort of a defining end to the franchise when they do. This is obviously something that I think we've all kind of, I don't know, this seems like a logical conclusion. I mean, they're making the Creep tapes, so I feel like we'll probably run through a few seasons of this, and then eventually they're going to want to kind of cap off the Creep character. So they'll probably bring Mark Duplass in to do one final movie, and it'd be great to see it get a theater run, and you know, and also be cool to see maybe the Creep die. You know, he kind of had a misleading ending in the second Creep movie. I think that'd be really great, and I'm glad to hear that they still want to make another movie.
Yeah, again, like you said, I don't think it's surprising. I think we probably could have anticipated this was coming without them saying it. But, Creep Tapes has kind of given us some backstory, and filling in a lot of that. But, yeah, I'm not surprised that they want to come back and kind of put their period on the franchise, make a third movie, like you said, probably kill off Peach Fuzz, the character, more than likely. I guess I don't know, but it just put a definitive end on it. And I'm all for it. I'm all for them doing whatever they want. I don't want to see the franchise end. So hopefully we get a run of a few seasons of of creep tapes before they think about doing this. So.
Right. Yep. And like you said, I feel like we all kind of saw this coming, but yeah, we'll see what they come up with. But in the meantime, the Jason Universe team has said they're actively working on a new Friday the 13th movie. So weirdly enough, I've been recently going through and reading some old Friday the 13th comic books, and so it's just kind of, I guess I didn't watch anything horror, but I've been reading some horror comic books. But yeah, I mean, I think we all, again, this is kind of a, you know, saying the obvious thing. Obviously, they're making a movie. They had him at Halloween Horror Nights. They're sort of revamping the Friday the 13th universe just in general. So it is pretty much common sense at this point that we will eventually get a Friday the 13th movie, and they are working on it now.
Yeah, I don't, again, like you said, not a surprise. I do know this would be the 13th Friday the 13th movie. So a little pressure there, I guess, to make it good. You know, there's all these rumors, all this talk about this and that. I know pro wrestler, former WWE star Braun Strowman has said he would love to play Jason in the next Friday. And I don't know. That's him saying that. Don't put anything into that yet. Does he have the size? Yeah, but I mean, he's pretty jacked. So I don't know what that would entail. But there's, again, nothing definitive there. It's just exciting that, you know, we've got Crystal Lake in brewing, and we've got a movie brewing, and there's supposedly, you know, some work on the game or a new game or something in that light. They've got this, they formed this Jason Universe thing to kind of try to bring everything together, you know, and control the franchise and the properties and their characters. You know, they've put out this is what our Jason will look like. It's just exciting to finally see some Friday the 13th action going on. And you know, hopefully good stuff comes from this, but whatever they do, I don't care. They put out a Friday the 13th movie. I'm probably their opening night. I cannot wait. It will be outstanding. They've hinted that it will be a sequel to the remake movie. Which I think is smart, right? You know, the remake movie does not really ixnay anything that's already there. Actually, everything that they say, for the most part, is pretty in line to the backstory. So it's just kind of like, I don't know, in my eyes, you can kind of say this just kind of fills in some gaps, right? This is what he was doing in between things. I don't know. But, you know, it's exciting. To see some this stuff brewing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as Braun Strowman playing Jason Voorhees, he certainly has the build for it. And I guess the good news is that he doesn't have to speak because he's not very good.
That's right. Yeah,
he's not a very good talker. So thankfully, they can just put his ass under a mask and just let him do that. So I'm all for it.
I don't think my gut says I don't think it'll be Braun Strowman. I think it'll be a more experienced stuntman kind of guy that's done this stuff more before. And again, I'm not knocking Braun Strowman, but just someone that's had a little more experience in this kind of thing. And I mean, come on, you know, Braun Strowman dipping his toe into things. You don't jump right into this. I mean, some people do, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, who knows? Weird things have happened. But I think you'll have someone with a little more experience and I don't know, maybe stunt work doing this kind of stuff. But that's just what I speculate. But again, Braun, he'd definitely have a good look, right? I mean,
right.
I don't know what they do with the beard though. He's got this big beard. Is he willing to shave? I'm guessing what they would, if he's cast as Jason and he gets Jason Voorhees money, he would shave the beard, I guess. But, I mean, you know, he's a big, big guy, jacked, like you said, wouldn't have to speak. Who knows? I'm not saying it's the worst idea in the world, but my gut says I don't think that's the direction they'll go.
No, I agree. I was going to say, somebody in the comment section of some post, when they were talking about Braun Strowman wanting to play him, somebody in the comment section is like, oh, no, we should just, they were like, in all And I just want to come and be like, that fucker's 7 years old. I highly doubt he wants to play Jason anymore. Like, I'm sure he loves the character. He respects the character. But come on, let the poor man rest.
My gut says, I bet they've already got somebody locked up.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I think they've already got their guy. They know who it is, and again, it's a unique position, right? Because he is under a mask, so you can you don't have to have a certain look facially or whatever it might be. It's more the body type and or whatever the size that you focus on, but my gut, again, I don't know, no information, but my gut says that I think they've already got their guy.
I think so. I would bet so, especially if they're actively working on a new movie.
Yeah.
But all right, well, we'll move on from that. We can talk about that all day, as always. Yep. Love Friday 13th, but we're gonna jump now to Him is now available video on demand. And we'll hit physical media on November 11th. Toxic Avenger and Conjuring Last Rites are also available video on demand. Plus, Jurassic World Rebirth is coming to Peacock on October 30th. Wow. So October is a huge month for physical media and a lot of streaming releases. And it seems like November is going to be pretty decent as well. So, I mean, yeah, I think that tis the season to watch something spooky on video on demand.
Yeah, I mean, this is some good stuff, right? I mean, Him, Toxic Avenger, Conjuring, The Last Rites, Jurassic World Rebirth, all of these we reviewed. And regardless of anything else, they are all worth a watch. And all fun movies in varying degrees or however you want to put it. So I don't knock any of these movies. I hope people watch them all. I bought Jurassic World Rebirth just to rewatch it because I love the Jurassic movies. I have heard, so I think maybe the Him movie has an alternate ending. I don't know what that's all about, but it's intriguing. I enjoyed all these movies, and I urge people to go watch them if they haven't seen them, or if you already have. These are all, to me, rewatchable movies.
There we go. But I definitely agree, and I definitely watched a Him with an alternate ending. We kind of talked about how movie. I thought the movie was great. It's just that third act kind of shit the bed a little bit. So I think a different ending might change that a little bit for me. But
yeah, I'm intrigued.
Very cool. Well, all right. Well, then we'll do it and jump on to our next one here. Disney's 1983 film Something Wicked This Way Comes is now available on Disney Plus, and I don't have anything to say about this. I've never seen this movie.
Lots of people haven't. This is one of those things that came kind of out of nowhere. This was a movie that was out there. I don't think it was a theatrical movie. I think this was maybe it was on TV. Maybe it was a VHS release, but it's never been available on a streaming service. And here all of a sudden, bam, Disney Plus puts it out, and it's without any, saying, oh, this is coming. It was kind of weird. It was kind of cool. A lot of people said, whoa, this is awesome. This is one of those, what we call a kind of a gateway horror movie, right? This is not true horror in the sense, but it fits in with that Goosebumps type, feel, that teen, horror, but it's just very cool that all of a sudden they have put this up. I know I'm sure there's probably a demand for this, but it's, I love it when a streaming service throws something out there that just all of a sudden, like, hey, here you go. Here's this. And there's not a lot of hoopla. It's just suddenly there. And, it's something you haven't seen in a while, or I haven't even thought about in a while. And obviously the timing's right, with being in October to put this out. And very cool. I'm going to give it a watch. I don't think I've ever seen it as well. I really don't. I believe, I don't know, what is Something Wicked This Week? That's a, what is that? Is that Ray Bradbury or?
I think so. That sounds familiar. Yeah, Ray Bradbury is the novel that's based off of.
Story, I think it's. Yeah, I think it's a story. I could be. I don't know. I'm going to look like an idiot if I get my author wrong. I want to say Ray Bradbury, but I don't know. Again, I don't think I've ever seen this. Or at least if I have, it's been a long time, and I don't recall it. So I'm curious. I'm very curious. And I'm all about, you know, Disney or something putting out something from that the 80s or whatever. And I mean, that's my prime time. 83. I'm 8 years old. Bring this on, baby. This is taking me back in time. And I'm curious to see this.
Very, me too. So that'll be on my watch list for the weekend. But
A good
for now,
Spooktober watch.
true, very good. But all right, we will go ahead and jump now to our. We have two more pieces of news here. But A Quiet Place 3 is coming to theaters on July 30th, 2027. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we were kind of anticipating another film in the series. I think that if this is a straight sequel to the second movie, we're probably going to see some of some combat with the space creatures of some sort.
Yeah. I mean, again, after the success of, was it called Day One? I don't think this is a surprise.
No.
And I'm looking forward to it, right? I enjoy the franchise. And after Day One, I'm very optimistic of what they can put out there. And just circling back around, I did look it up. Something Wicked is Ray Bradbury. Boom. I don't know why I can't get that shit on Trivia Dime, but there you go. But no, I like the Quiet Place stuff. I think it's fun. I love Day One. I think I like we did the review. It might be the best of the franchise for me. It's
Yeah.
very good. So I'm very excited to see what they do with this one.
No, I definitely agree. Day one was I think it kind of tapped into some of that magic that the first one had. But I think it did it in just a slightly better way. And like you said, I'm hopeful that the third movie will be potentially even better. So very good. Now we're going to jump to Laurie Metcalf was
This
asked.
is our I think our required Scream news for the episode.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we I don't think we have any have anybody in Scream from down below or any Scream
Nah,
anything. So
we got to mention Scream every episode. So,
exactly. But Laurie Metcalf, who you may know as Nancy Loomis from Scream 2, was asked in an interview if she'd be opening to reprising her role. She said she was, but her apprehensive response has people speculating that she may be appearing in the Scream 7 film. So, you know, I think a lot of people are aware, but she's definitively dead. They showed her get shot in the head in Scream 2. So, much like a lot of the other random ass people who are coming back to reprise roles, I'm going to guess maybe a flashback scene or like a hallucination of some sort. I'm
yeah.
not totally sure.
I
But, you know.
Here's the thing. I don't know. I'm super excited, but I don't know what the hell is happening with Scream 7. I cannot formulate theories on all this. Now, take this with a grain of salt, right? This doesn't mean anything. This doesn't mean that Mrs. Loomis is going to be in Scream 7. It doesn't mean this is at all. But given the names we've heard, it's not a stretch. And I mean, I'm almost at the point where I feel like everybody is going to be in Scream 7. They're just bringing back everybody. And I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know. But here's the thing. I trust them. I have faith in them. They got Neve Campbell back on board. I feel like she would not have accepted some half-ass weird-ass script. I don't know. I feel like they've got to create. Again, it's got to be flashbacks, right? It's got to be some form of flashbacks. Or to me, what they're going to do is they're going to alter what we know of the Scream universe in some way. They're going to swerve the universe in some way, but they're going to do it in a series of flashbacks that fill in information and holes that we didn't know, but will fit in the context of the Scream universe. And I think they're going to make this appear that it's from the get-go, it's bigger. Out of the first one, everything after that has been bigger than what we thought. My guess is Stu has been pulling a lot of strings since the first one. And I just think this is going to reshape the overall feel of the universe. through a series of flashbacks. That's where a lot of these characters are coming back. But I, who knows? This is so, it's so crazy to me. But hey,
sure. Who knows?
That's the Scream universe for us. It's wacky. It's wild. Who knows what's happening? People are coming. People are going. We've been doing this for what, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. And that's been Scream from the get-go. It's been this roller coaster of people in and out. Who knows what's happening? I don't know. All I know is the more stuff I hear, the more excited I am for Scream 7.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll hear even more soon. We're quickly approaching 2026 when it's supposed to be released. So we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
That's right.
But very good. We're going to move on to some upcoming birthdays. We just have two, and then we have like a million anniversaries.
I know. But I couldn't cut any of these anniversaries. These are great movies. So, you know, every time, every week, I'm sorry to interrupt.
They are.
Every week, I look at our list of anniversaries, and I say, could we cut a few here? Could we cut? And I looked at this list, and I'm like, no. These are good movies. I'm not cutting anything. We'll just talk this long on them. So,
true. So we're going to talk about the birthdays first, and then we'll kind of rapid fire these movies' anniversaries and see what happens. But October 9th, 1964, we have Guillermo del Toro. He is, of course, known for his role with Shape of Water in the upcoming Frankenstein film. Director of both, I believe. Guillermo del Toro has done a lot of other stuff. Like I think he did Pan's Labyrinth, which is kind of spooky esque, and you know, he's been involved in some video games too, which are spooky too. So, but a great guy, great wholesome guy.
I don't know about wholesome, but what was that? Curio of Curiosities, or that little series he did?
Yeah, Cabin of Curiosities.
Yeah, it was good stuff. He has a very unique approach to things. And obviously, Shape of Water, a big movie for him, won a lot of awards. I love Frankenstein, right? Let's be real. There's very few people that Frankenstein could be in the hands of that I wouldn't feel any apprehension for. I trust Del Toro with Frankenstein. I cannot wait to see it. I can't wait to see what he does. I think we're going to have a more book accurate version. But I you know, he loves horror. Go and look at the pictures of his home. I mean, it's like a museum. He loves horror movies. So, he's a great guy. I mean, you know, talent. I won't say he's a great guy because I don't know him personally, but you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And I will clarify what I mean by him being wholesome is that outside of his spookiness, he's often regarded as a very gentle and kind person. So,
yes,
he's kind of a big dude too. Like he's not like small.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, nothing but respect for him and what he does. And he seems like a really great guy.
He does. Mostly speaks Spanish too. Mostly.
Power to him.
But very good. Moving on to the other birthday, we have October 15th of 1947. Lynn Lowry from I Drink Your Blood, The Crazies, and many, many more. I do know Lynn Lowry. I've seen The Crazies, the OG Crazies. Fantastic actress. Is well known, I would say. Those are very well-known movies.
Yeah, she's a legend. She's been in so much stuff. I mean, it's a lot of it, you know, is older stuff, but it's great stuff. She's been in so much. She was in that, what was that movie called? Thanksgiving Feast, Halloween Feast, something like that. It's a recent movie that was pretty good.
A Halloween Feast.
Yeah, she was in that. She's great. I mean, she is, when you hear the term Scream Queen, Lynn Lowry is one of them. Let's don't make any mistake about it. She's one of those, a very attractive woman in her, still to this day, which, you know, plays into it and everything else. And she's still acting. She's still doing her thing, still out there. And that's wonderful. I love it. She's completely supportive and thrown into the horror genre, and I absolutely love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, she has a pretty, a laundry list of accomplishments in the horror industry as well. Like you said, she's still doing it. So, all right. So now we're going to embark on our venture to get through these movie anniversaries and it not take 10 hours.
That's right.
So,
I'll try not to babble.
all right. First up, October 10th, 1995, we have Jacko. I've never seen this movie, but sounds fun.
Great movie. Everybody should watch this movie. It is coming to Shudder later in the month. I will put that plug out there. Fun movie, especially this time of year. Everybody should watch Jacko. If you've never seen it, here in a week or two, it will be on Shudder. And it is out. I think it's out in Tubi and all some of those. But we love our Shudder and Screambox, so give it a week or two, and it's out there. It's a fun movie.
True story. All right. Jumping now to October 11th, 1974, we have the OG Black Christmas. This is, of course, a legendary film in the
Oh.
horror genre, and perhaps one of the most controversial films from the 70s for horror films.
Yeah, but again, one of the best Christmas horror movies of all time. I will put this and Silent Night, Deadly Night as right there together as must-sees. And I think Black Christmas was remade, if I'm remembering right. But I do hope
Yeah.
people will go back and watch the original because it is spectacular.
Very good. So we'll move on to October 11th, 1985. Silver Bullet. This is on my list to watch. I've not seen it yet, but I know Dave loves the movie.
Oh, should be on everybody's list to watch if you haven't seen it. It's a Stephen King novel. It's got Corey Feldman. It's got don't remember his name right off of hand, but whatever it is, whatever. I can't
It's
remember.
the other Corey. It's Corey Haim and Gary
No.
Busey.
Gary Busey, that's who it is. That's who I'm thinking. Gary Busey. It's a fun movie. It's a great movie. It's a Stephen King. It's well done. I love it. It is I no spoilers, right? Obviously, because of the title, so it's a werewolf movie, but it's a great one.
There you go. Very good. Moving now to a favorite of the show,
That's right.
October 11th of 2024. Terrifier 3. Oh man, we love Terrifier. We love Terrifier 3. And I'm excited for them to start pumping out some Funkos from that movie.
Yeah, I mean, again, not going to say anything. We talked endlessly about Terrifier. Love the Terrifier movies. Love them all. Three, a super highlight of the franchise. I don't know. I would venture to guess anybody listening to us has seen this movie, but great movie. Again, hey, it's a pretty much, I guess you could lump it in as a Christmas horror movie.
I would say so. I would say so. All right. If we don't move on from Terrifier 3, we'll talk about that all day. October 12th, 1989, we have Puppet Master. I remember this movie from years and years and years and years ago, but there's like 50 of these movies.
Yeah.
And there's some I don't know. There's a lot of Nazi stuff in these movies too, which it's typically them fighting Nazis, if I remember correctly. But it's weird that there's so much of that.
This franchise is all over the map, but the first movie is an absolute classic. So fucking creepy and scary. Puppets are scary, man. I don't care what you say. And this movie played on that. Again, a must-see movie for anybody that calls themselves a horror fan.
Definitely agree. It's weird, but it's good. But
That's right.
moving on now to October 12th of 2012, we have Sinister. This is a classic movie. I don't want to say classic, so it was only made 13 years ago. But I would say that it will become a classic one day. As
It's a
far as
modern classic. There you go.
there you go, modern classic, and I think that it will age very well in coming generations.
Yeah, again, I think to me, it's a must-see, right? This is when you're talking about modern horror movies. Sinister is great. You got to watch it. It's a There's, I don't know, man. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You got to watch Sinister. Great movie.
Amen to that. Gotta watch it. Moving on to October 13th, 1989, Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. This is right before Curse, so right before everything shit the bed. But hey, Halloween 6, I love Curse Michael Myers. It has a special place in my heart. But Halloween 5 is pretty decent. It's a little interesting on how they do things. It's a follow-up to the fourth movie, but it's a good time to watch these if you haven't already.
Yeah, like I said, I'm getting ready to dive into my Halloween, or I have dove into my Halloween rewatch. I like all the Halloween movies one way or another. I don't give a crap, right? To varying degrees, I love them all. And I don't care. To me, if you like Michael Myers, you have a varying degree of love for each movie. And it's a fun movie. They took a chance. You say what you will, I don't care. It's a fun movie in retrospect.
Very true. Can't beat it. Can't beat a fun movie, and you can't beat Michael Myers. Moving on to October 13th, 2017. Happy Death Day. This is a fun little, what's the movie? Groundhog Day,
Yeah.
but in the form of a horror movie. Yeah, it's an
Yeah.
interesting concept for sure.
Again, yeah, another what I would call another, I don't know, modern, I don't want to say modern classic, but it is in the modern generation. I think it's a must see. I think it's one of those that a couple decades from now people will say, yeah, that was a damn good movie. So yeah, and I think it's one of the better modern horror movies that there is.
Absolutely. Would 100% agree. Moving on to a October 14th, 1988, another classic, I would say a B movie, Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead's great.
Yep.
Matt St. Pierre, who's a friend of the show, loves
That's
Pumpkinhead.
right. That's right.
He's a huge fan of it. He only saw the last half of it, but love that movie.
Oh, what a story. Yeah, go back in the archives, listen to that interview. got hooked on horror because of the last half of Pumpkinhead. What, man, that's wild. But yeah, Pumpkinhead's fun. And it again, it's I mean, it's an 80s movie, but I think it's one of those that you got to watch if you want to, complete your diploma as a horror fan. You got to give it a watch and give it a try.
Absolutely, 100%. Moving on to October 14th, 1994, Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Wes Craven's New Nightmare is one of the, I would say, one of the better of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I would say it's probably top four for me, maybe even top three, depending on the day. But I love New Nightmare. It's a very unique film. It's a very meta, as Wes Craven tends to be.
That's right. And if we have done a nightmare ranking in the past, I believe it's when the Robert Englund documentary is coming out. I think we did a nightmare franchise talk. Again, I think it's a great movie. I think it's very underappreciated. A lot of people don't talk about it enough. They really went out on a limb with an idea, and I really think it worked. And only I really it's only within the world of Nightmare on Elm Street. To me, could this really work as well as it did? It's a great movie. It's I mean that you're kicking in the fourth wall, but which works for a nightmare movie, and it's really clever.
Absolutely. Very clever. And we're going to now move on to a sort of a back-to-back here, October 14th of 2022. We got Halloween Ends. This still, I would say, exists as possibly one of the most controversial Halloween films to ever be released. Not for the movie itself, but where people are divided on whether or not the movie was good or if it was bad. And even myself, after having watched it probably almost half a dozen times, I still struggle on where this movie should be ranked, how this movie should be rated, and it's weird. It's like a demon you're struggling with. It's such a weird movie. But yeah, I won't say anymore. I could talk about Halloween. We talked about Halloween Ends for hours on previous podcasts. Let's just say it like that.
It's such a unique film. It is so divisive. It's one of those movies that it's like you can argue both sides for equally well. And I, at least again, like you said, for me as well, I don't know what side I fall on all the time. It's so weird. There are days when I think, oh, it's a masterpiece. It's brilliant. They were trying to do this and they pulled it off. And then there's other days where I'm like, oh, man, why did you not go this route? This route, man. It's so weird. And I think the majority of horror fandom feels that way. And, I don't know. I hope there will come a day where we can all just take a breath and say, it's all right. It's a Michael Myers movie. It's a Halloween movie. He killed people. It's fun. Let's don't overthink it. It's just a movie. So that's, I think, where I lie in the end is, eh, it's fun. It's a movie. It's a Halloween movie. It's a Michael Myers movie. It's got some great kills. You know what? Let's don't overthink this. It's imaginary. And again, I'm not knocking anybody's passion for it, but, you know, let's don't take it all so personal.
True. Very true. And then the back-to-back I mentioned is that the day after, but a year before, October 15th, 2021, we got Halloween Kills. You know, Halloween Kills was, I think, generally positive in terms of reception. Nothing like Halloween Ends. But yeah, I mean, Halloween Kills is great. And I think we talked about that as well, with Ends coming out at beginning with, like, 2022. So yeah, love Halloween Kills as well.
Yeah, me too. I love the Halloween, right? The reintroduction into this trilogy, and then Halloween Kills. I don't know. To me, there's no question. They're great films. They're fun films. I don't have any mixed emotions about those two. You know, I love them. They're a great film. But again, you know, there's the Halloween Ends. But you know, hey, would it be Halloween without just all these discussions and divided fandoms? That's always been Halloween's cross to bear.
Yep, absolutely. But all right, we made it through our anniversaries in record time. So we're going to jump to our one upcoming release. Vicious is coming to Paramount Plus on October 10th. And it is described as a woman spends the night fighting for her existence as she slips down a rabbit hole contained inside a gift from a late night visitor. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. You know, honestly, it was weird. I did not even know this movie was coming out onto streaming, but it has a Dakota Fanning in it. You know, who people may recognize from some other movies in the, you know, years prior, but she was in The Watchers as well, which is something we recently reviewed. Well, not recently, months ago, probably even a year ago, potentially. absolutely. I love Dakota Fanning. I think she's a great actress. And I didn't even know this was coming out.
Well, this was a movie that was going to be a theatrical release, then got bumped to a streaming release. So there's a lot of meat on the bones here with this movie. You know, again, I love Dakota Fanning, so I that alone intrigues me. But even that description, right, the woman spends the night, blah, 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 that's very intriguing because there's a lot of questions there, a lot of what does that mean? You know, it's like that really works in my mind. That makes me want to watch this movie, right? What is this gift? Who's the late night visitor? It raises a lot of questions that makes me very intrigued to watch this movie. Why is the movie called Vicious? What's that mean? You know, again, I'm very intrigued to watch this movie. So we'll see next episode what we thought of this movie.
Yep, absolutely. But all right. That does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. So we will take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of VHS Halloween.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, we're back here and listen to the screams. It is review time. We are reviewing VHS Halloween. I can't really get into the writers and directors because there's a ton. There's so many, right, with all the segments and different things. And even starring, right? It stars David Hayden, Eddie McKenzie, Adam Carr, so many others. You can't even really begin to touch that. It was released October 3rd on Shudder And just one note, it is the eighth film in the VHS franchise. And I will, as a horror fan, as a horror viewer, I will always owe a debt to the VHS franchise for being one of the reasons that I have turned around on found footage. These movies have really, I did not like found footage. Right? I liked Blair Witch, but other than that, oh, I did not like found footage films. But I kept an open mind going into these films, and one by one, each one of these VHS movies has made me more and more and more of a found footage fan, where now I enjoy the subgenre, the approach of found footage. I was super excited for this movie. Each VHS movie I have enjoyed more than the previous. And I really think that Halloween has kept that trend going for me. This to me, again, I don't think every clip within Halloween or a segment or whatever you want to call it within Halloween was necessarily a knockout. But I will say that the ones that I enjoyed, I think were tremendously head and shoulders above any of the other segments I've seen before. I will say the segment Fun Size, and I spoke to you, Isaac, about this brief. I'm in love with this. That was so good to me. I absolutely loved it. I really think they have developed an iconic horror character. I don't know if his name's Fun Size. I don't know what it is. Maybe I missed it. But I want a figure of this dude from the Fun Size segment. It was so good. The segment related to the trick-or-treating with the bowl, I thought was tremendously good. The what do you call it? The wraparound segment? I don't know what the verbiage is. Related to the drink.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought it was, I thought it really was the one that you wanted to see a little more and more of each time. I don't think it was necessarily the strongest, but I think it was probably the best choice for that because you could stretch it out a little bit among the different segments better than anything else. But again, all the segments were good. But there was, you know, it was like, I liked them all. But the ones that I really liked, I was all like, yeah, this is the best stuff they've ever done. And again, I will go to my grave thinking, as of this point, Fun Size is the best stuff VHS has ever done. I loved it. I thought it was so damn good. The effects were good. Everything about it was good. It was spooky. It was scary. It was creepy. But it totally fit into that theme of Halloween as well. And I'm not saying some of the other segments didn't either. I think that's why I like that one. I think that's why I like, I don't remember the one with the trick-or-treating in the bowl. That really fit into Halloween. Now, the segment, I think it was called Coochie Coochie Coo.
Yep.
That was fucking disturbed.
It was.
That shit fucking messed with my mind. That shit, now, on a different level, was some of the best shit ever done within VHS. It was amazing. It was incredible. It was really twisted, really disturbed. I don't know, man. It was something. But it was all good. I loved it. Maybe a little long, but I don't know what you would cut. You know, I mean, if you're talking about shortening, you're going to cut a segment. What do you cut? I don't know. So maybe that's not a problem. I loved it. I thought, again, it just built on the previous VHS movies. They've done eight of them, and I thought this was the best yet. I think each one is the best. So I hope they never end. I'm very excited to see what they do next. I'm very excited to see what the quote-unquote theme is of the next, because they've settled into either some themes or some time periods. So I'm excited to see what they do next. But this was spectacular. I loved it. At review purposes, do I think they did anything outside the box? No. This did what VHS has perfected, but they took it a little above. They didn't reinvent anything. They didn't, you know, establish anything new. They just built upon what they were already doing so good. So there is that. So I've kind of babbled. Again, I loved it. Ike, what did you think of VHS Halloween?
Well, I think first things first, I have to say, absolutely love it. I mean, just straight out, nothing about this movie that I would change. This movie, to me, is the personification of Halloween. This is the personification of some of those obscure thoughts that we have about Halloween, you know, and just sort of the spirit of Halloween being, you know, that kind of spooky time. Like you said, the movie has an overarching, or I guess would consider, is it like a, I think the term is frame narrative, where everything is kind of contained within the realms of this internal tape, which is called Diet Phantasma. which is a soda, by the way. I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but Diet Phantasma is a soda. Like you said, there's all these segments. You have Coochie Coochie Coo. You have Supra Sic Infra. You have Fun Size. You have Kid Print. And then you have Home Honk. And then Diet Phantasma is sort of the stopgap between each of these. Now, in the past, I have criticized that the overarching narrative, because the overarching narrative is sort of not new, but new-ish for VHS. The first few VHS films didn't necessarily have a overarching narrative. I think VHS Viral, which is the third film, is the first one to have that.
Right.
No, I guess not. I guess they all had overarching narratives, because in the first one, it's this, they like break into a house or something like that. The second one, it's like a cop. So never mind. Completely forget what I just said. Every VHS film has an overarching narrative. But I have criticized in the past that some of them either seem unnecessary, they don't really add anything to it, or perhaps that they're just kind of there to fill in gaps. But to me, the big credit that I want to give this, Diet Phantasma was extremely enjoyable.
Yeah.
Normally, when I rank the things, typically the overarching narrative is towards the bottom. I would put this towards the top. I would say top three segments for me. I liked Home Haunt. I liked Fun Size, and then probably Diet Phantasma would be my top three, just off the rip. All of them were great, but those three to me really stuck out. I remember them the most. But I liked Home Haunt because it's something that I've always wanted to do at my house. Minus the demons and stuff. And
it is a good one. So that's your top three then, right? As you're picking the segments of this, that's your top three?
I think so. I think my top three would be Home Haunt, Fun Size, and Diet Phantasma. I think that's probably the
three. Yeah, see, mine would probably be Fun Size, Home Haunt, and then Coochie Coochie Coo. I think that's... Is that the name of it exactly? I'm not sure.
No, you're correct. Yeah, Coochie Coochie Coo.
I think that's the three. Again, I think Coochie Coochie Coo is probably almost the creepiest of them all.
It is, 100%. Coochie Coochie Coo is probably the most disturbing one in the whole thing. And that's the first one they show you. After the prologue to Diet Phantasma, you get Coochie Coochie Coo right at the rip. Then you have the first interlude with Diet Phantasma. And I have nothing against the Oot Supra 6 Infra. I love that they include a foreign language segment. I think that's incredibly important. And in past ones, I really love the foreign language one. I can't remember which one it is, but there's one in one of the past ones. There's the one where it's like the Japanese doctor is like he puts like a camera in that person's brain.
Yep.
That was my favorite segment in that movie. Yeah. But in this one, Oot Supra Sic Infra was creepy. It was disturbing. It just wasn't my favorite.
Right.
And then you had Diet Phantasma, Fun Size, Diet Phantasma, Kid Print, Diet Phantasma, Home Haunt.
Oh, yeah. See, I forgot about Kid Print. That's a good one, too. That's fun.
Kid
Not
Print
fun.
Is
That's
like,
weird to say, but it's...
Well, but Kid Print, to me, like, that emphasizes, like, the 90s, like, don't go home with strangers.
Yeah.
Like, That was so huge when I was a kid with Stranger Danger.
Yeah, and like, it's pretty disturbing.
It is because it's real. I think that's like the most realistic of all of them is Kid Print. I think all of them have some sort of like fantasticalness to them. But like Kid Print is super rooted in reality.
Yeah,
like,
it had a great ending.
It did. It had a very, I would say, that was probably one of the most disturbing endings too. And it just kind of like, oh man. I would love to see them do like, because sometimes, and they've done it before where they'll have like a follow up or kind of like something like that. I would love for them to do like a follow up segment in the next one, like Kid Print 2, or jump back to another movie and do like another follow up. But, anyways, to finish my thoughts here, all of them were great. None of these were lacking. And that's actually a really huge compliment for her because I have been critical in the past of other ones where there are segments that lack. Segments that are not as good as others. And for this one, I don't think that there is a weak segment. I think all of them are super strong. It's just some of them are better than others. And that's a huge compliment for any anthology film, but specifically in the horror genre, because horror is super, it's peculiar because horror is not for everybody, and certain genres of horror are not for everyone either. But for this one, I feel like everything just hit just right.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think there's any weak ones here. It is hard to rank, right? It is hard to, but I think going back, right, because everybody's talking about Fun Size. There's a lot of talk online about Fun Size. I think the key to Fun Size, horror is often very character driven, meaning you have to have that one character, right? That standout character that's marketable, that people. And I think they hit that with Fun Size. You mentioned with Kid Print that, hoping to do something else. I would be very surprised if we do not see Fun Size come back up in the future. I think they super have something. If whoever's behind VHS Halloween, I know it's Shudder. If Shudder and whoever else, if they don't jump on the Fun Size stuff and try to market the heck out of this thing, I think they're fools. Because I really think, I'm telling you, I'd buy a Fun Size action figure because it's so fun, and I would be so supportive of seeing something like that from VHS. And again, as good as everything is, they don't have something that really parlays into over into merchandising like Fun Size. Right, they don't have something that they can put an action figure out there or whatever it may be in the same way. So I hope to take advantage of it. There's a little bit selfishly there. I hope to do. I want to see a Toonie Terror of that. That would be great. I want to see a Nika figure. That would be great. I just want to see anything. I don't care. It's a very toyetic character. But again, the whole thing is super enjoyable. Super fun. I guess it falls in. If you like found footage at all, you'll probably enjoy this. If you don't, I don't know. I still think this could turn some people that aren't found footage fans. The good thing about like this is the way they did the found, quote unquote, found footage part, it was pretty seamless. There was a very believable reason that everything was being filmed. It's not like there's a stretch of, oh, well, hey, there just happens to be a camera. No, everything in this thing, there is a reason that it is quote unquote found footage that it's being filmed. And it made sense within the story. It wasn't just an afterthought, it was very strong to the story. Because sometimes found footage, that's a weak point, right? Why is it being filmed? Not just a, oh, hey, I am a film major. I'm going to film everything. Sometimes that's what you get. But within this one, there seemed to be always a good reason that what you're seeing was being filmed. So that was never to me in question. There was never that lack of believability there. Again, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the VHS movies. I have been. From the get-go, and this one, everyone again just seals it even more. I enjoy each one even more. So again, if you've not seen this, go watch us. I plan to rewatch it. I enjoyed it enough that I'm going to give it another watch. It was that fun to me. It is available on Shudder now. Go give it a watch. So let's rank this thing. Again, I can't. in the clear thought of ranking. I can't say they're doing anything different here, right? This is just what VHS has always done. They're just doing it a little better. So I think I'm going to have to stick with a 3.5 on this. I can't quite give it a 4, even though I super enjoyed this. I don't think I can warrant giving it a 4. I think I'm going to stick to a 3.5. If a 3.75 were possible, I would probably give it that. I think I'm going to stick to a 3.5 out of 5 screams for VHS Halloween. Ike, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so to me, it's kind of like that, you know, all of these movies are really good, right?
Yeah.
All of these movies are decent. I don't think there's a single bad VHS film. In fact, you know, after we record, I'm going to go back and rewatch all of them. But that'll be a doozy of a rewatch. That'll take plenty of time. But, good. You know, the point of me saying that is I don't know where I would rank this in the overall scheme of things because, you know, a lot of these I think are fours. A lot of the VHS films are fours.
Yep.
And potentially even 4.5s. But this one specifically, I'm trying to think of where in the entirety of these 8 movies, like that's an insane number of movies for any horror series, really.
Right.
Even the big, you know, the big heavy hitters like Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, that's a lot of movies. And a lot of those movies, you know, they came out over a longer period of time. So,
yep.
You know, with how quickly these movies are coming out, it's crazy. So anyways, man, I was struggling with this before we record. I think it's the first time I've ever struggled with ranking a movie. I'm going to give it a tentative 3.5 out of 5. I may change my ranking as I did with Halloween Kill or Halloween Ends. but at least just off the rip, I mean, it was great. It was fantastic. It's one of the best ones yet. But do I think it's better? Do I think that I like it better than some of the other ones? No, I think there are other ones that I like more, at least to a degree. So yeah, I think 3.5 out of 5 is a decent middle ground for that.
Yeah. I will say that me personally, I do believe that number one, I think Fun Size was probably the most enjoyable segment any of the VHS movies I've done. Just for me personally and what I like to watch. But I will say that I believe Coochie Coochie Coo is one of the creepiest, most disturbing ones they've done as well. It really hit home. And again, I've not watched the others in a while. But that's what I love about these movies, I think. You get a range of reactions and emotions that it pulls out of you within one film. So well done to the people behind VHS. And I look forward to the next one. I'm super excited. This one was super fun. And I think this is a really, I think this is maybe notched a spot into a Halloween rewatch every year. It's a really good movie. Like we talked earlier, next episode, we will be reviewing the movie Vicious. So come back and hear us talk about that one. The best way to make sure you will come back is to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. While you're there, make sure you share us. Make sure you give us a rating and review. If that's an option, that helps us in those algorithms. We would like to say thank you to our wives and all you listeners and followers for all of your support. Along with subscribing to us on your favorite podcast platform, make sure you also follow us and subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any social media platform. Just search for Listen to Screams. It's Listen, the number 2 in Screams. Or you can just look up Listen to the Screams. We're pretty easy to find. Whatever your preferred podcast your preferred social media platform is, we are there. But wherever you are, make sure you follow us on social media. Again, next episode, we will be reviewing the movie Vicious, coming to Paramount Plus. But before we close out this episode, and before we close out this discussion of VHS Halloween, Ike, is there anything you want to add?
Oh, man. Just make sure you guys go out there and watch VHS. I mean, give it a lot of support. The more people who watch it on Shudder, especially, you know, in that first like week or so after it comes out, that tells Shudder like, hey, you know, we love this movie, we want more, and fuck, I want more, man, I want some That's more right. movies. So everybody get out there and watch it, because for fuck's sake, if I don't get another one next year, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, and I think people are doing well. Again, it seems to be a very discussed topic on social media. So I get the vibe. A lot of people are watching it. So I hope so. And I hope a lot of people will rewatch it and keep at it. Let's support this movie. And while you're at it, support Shudder, support Screenbox, support Tubi and all those platforms. These are all very crucial components of distribution of horror movies. A lot of things that are not quite theatrical releases are getting the light of day, and we're getting the opportunity to see them because of these platforms. So make sure you subscribe to them. Make sure you support them. Make sure you watch these releases on there. There's lots of good stuff on all these platforms. Like we said before, it is the Halloween season. It is that spooky time of year. Go support your local haunts, your local attractions. I know last episode, Ike and I said we would be going to a local haunt. We didn't get to go to that for different reasons, but we do have a plan to go see them this week, yeah. I'm hoping. So it wasn't a discarded idea. It was just a reschedule idea. We're going. We just had to bump the date. So hopefully there should be some talk about this next episode. We will give a shout out to our local haunt here. One of our local haunts, the Scare Spot. And that's where we'll be going. So we'll be talking about that next episode. Whatever your local haunt is, go check them out. Guys, go hit the Spirit Halloweens. Hit just everything out there. Hit the local pumpkin patches and do their, you know, hay rides and all their events. Support all these things. This is their time of year. So get out there. Support them. Have fun. And enjoy this time of year, because this is the one month a year that we really get to rise the prominence and bask in the glory and experience all this stuff. So again, until next episode, when we'll be reviewing the movie Vicious, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.